So we taught this morning that we're in the days of Teshuvah, and it's 40 days. It started yesterday, August the 11th, and it goes for the next 40 days. And this is a period of repentance. You need to repent of everything that you know you've done that is against God. And even, I'm hearing God say, even against the land. All right, so I don't know if we have any more of those handouts or not left. But I handed out for the next 10 days how you should, what parts of the Bible you should read and how you should be praying. Well, Father, we surely do thank you for all those that came out and sit in your house tonight to sit at your table and to be fed fresh manna from heaven. I'm asking right now, Father God, that you just open the windows of heaven right now and you pour out upon your people a blessing that they cannot contain. And Father God, as they sit in your presence, move upon them, Father, change their hearts. Let them see through eyes of Jesus. Let them see what you see, Father. Let them do away with all natural things and just be filled with your Spirit. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, I want to teach about faith. I was talking to Nancy Connell in the office, and I said, you know, I've had this, whatever this is wrong with my knee. And, you know, I prayed and I said, God, it's healed. And so I'm walking around saying my knee is healed and I believe in that. And so Saturday I decided, well, if my knee's healed, well, then I need to get down that knee and scrub my floor. My knee has no faith. All right. Faith hasn't got into my knee yet. So anyhow, when I get up this morning, well, during the night, I thought, oh, wow. My knee locked on me, no such pain. I couldn't even hardly stand it. But then today I'm paying for it. So I said, I have to teach my knee faith. I have to keep telling every day, you are healed in the name of Jesus. And then I thought about Job, how, you know, Job, he was a righteous man and he got all those boils, all those things happened to him. And no matter what he did, you know, he until God was ready, he didn't take the boils away from him. But we're going to talk about faith. And, you know, with me, I've known ever since I was born again that God is a miracle working God, and he's always performed miracles. And so I'm saying, all right, God, it's time you perform a miracle on my whole entire body, just not my knee. So what I'm saying here right now before I go any further is, if you are believing God for something, don't give up just because that part of your body doesn't understand faith. You know, just keep on moving in your faith, because when God's ready, or when something's ready, you'll get your healing no matter what it is. Amen. All right, we're going to talk about faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you're going to have to, if you don't have faith, you're going to have to get that little thing working. It's a big thing. It's because we're walking by faith. Now, there's a story. A small boy, new to Sunday school, was greatly pleased with his picture card and its text. It says, have faith in God. On the homeward way, however, the precious possession slipped from his fingers and fluttered from the open streetcar window. Immediately, a cry of distress arose. I've lost my faith in God. Stop the car. The good-natured conductor signaled, and the card was recovered amid the smiles of the passengers. One of them said something about this blessed innocence of childhood. But a more thoughtful voice answered, there would be many happier and truer lives if only we older ones were wise enough to call halt when we find ourselves rushing ahead on some road where we are in danger of leaving our faith in God behind us. Amen. Said there would be many happier and truer lives if only we older ones were wise enough to call halt when we find ourselves rushing ahead on some road where we are in danger of leaving our faith in God behind us. When you find out that your faith is not working, you need to call a halt and you need to go back to the beginning and get your faith working again. So many of us have forgotten that we cannot please God without faith. God can and wants to restore our childlike faith. Remember, he's been telling us we have to become like children if we're going to please him. God sees all our war and wilderness places. He knows how long we have been held in our captivity. He knows all this. He never meant for those times to destroy us. Are you listening here? His purpose was for our wilderness to increase our measure of faith. A good 5 years ago, God, I was right there standing preaching, and God said, from this moment forth, you're going to walk by faith, total and complete faith, so get your faith working. And he's right. It has been a total complete faith walk for the whole body of Christ, just not for me. We have to walk by faith and not by sight or by what we hear other people say. As this childlike faith begins to rise, the glory of God rests upon us. Chuck Pierce's story. I've always considered myself to be a man of faith. I lead meetings all around the world filled with great faith and expectation of what God will do. Now just listen to his story and then think about it. Nonetheless, I learned a new lesson about childlike faith several years ago. One of my assignments was to mobilize prayer throughout the world. This entailed being a watchman for the nations and raising the necessary funds to support this project. One morning, I asked the Lord to increase my measure of faith concerning the project I was working on, a communication system for a world prayer thrust. That's what he was working on. That same day, I was on my way down to South Texas to lead a revival meeting. While I was preparing to leave, my 15-year-old son, Daniel, who is now 27, came to me and said, Daddy, when you're in South Texas, I believe God wants you to bring me back a parrot. Chuckling at him, I replied, Daniel, parrots cost $1,500. Why don't you go ask the Lord if he really wants you to have a parrot? If he does, he'll get one for you. Accepting my statement, Daniel darted out of the room. About 10 minutes later, he returned and flatly declared, Daddy, I asked the Lord about my parrot, and he said he wants me to have one. I could not believe it. What could I say? I left shaking my head and wondering if I had somehow taught him to manipulate what he was hearing from God. When I arrived in South Texas, I told the couple I was staying with about my conversation with Daniel. The man and I just laughed it off, but the wife looked at me and said, parrots fly over the border from Mexico through here all the time. I looked at her and wondered what that had to do with anything. We could never catch a wild parrot. I got up at 5 a.m. the next morning for my quiet time. In the middle of my devotions, I heard something outside. As I looked out my window, I saw that the woman had set up a cage in a nearby tree and was down on her knees praying. I wondered if I had somehow led this woman into total delusion. Did she expect a wild parrot to just walk into the cage? Snickering, this man of faith, I returned to my quiet time. Later that morning, I led a big prayer meeting and all filled with faith. The following morning, I got up for my quiet time again. This time, I was in deep prayer for the very project for which I needed faith. Again, I heard something outside. I opened my window and looked to see the woman shutting the door of the cage. Inexplicably, a large, beautiful parrot had flown into the yard and walked into the waiting cage all on its own. I looked up at the Lord and said, Lord, I am in bad trouble for my lack of faith. And it just felt like he agreed with me. That day, the Lord began to speak into my heart and say, your borders are too narrow. But I can raise your borders. I can bring the supply that's needed. If you will have faith as a child, here's this child faith again. I will release that which you need in this hour. Today, 12 years later, that parrot sits in Daniel's house squawking. I can't look at it without being reminded of God's supply in the face of childlike faith. And I encourage you that no matter where you are in life, God has a plan to increase your measure of faith. Ask him to restore your faith. There is a story of a... Oh, this is a different story. All right, that's where he ended. He says, I encourage you that no matter where you are in life, God has a plan to increase your measure of faith. Now, I'm saying I don't care what God has told you to do or asked you to do or promised you that will happen in your life. It is going to happen as long as you stay in your faith walk with God. You know, he said to me, I'm going to restore your youth. And I'm going to heal you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. My body's saying, ha, 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 that's not true. Not just my knee, my whole body. But I'm saying, ha, 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 it is true. And I'm believing God, not my body. I'm not looking at circumstances, and I'm not telling you to just close your eyes to things, but I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my life. All right? Now, there's a story of a poor boy who was dying on the battlefield after one of the great conflicts in the American Civil War. Another soldier nearby crawled to him and found this poor boy in grave condition and did everything he could to help him. They talked together, and then the other said, "Now, if I get out alive, is there anything I could do for you?" "Well," he said, "maybe I can do something for you. My father is wealthy, and if you get through this conflict alive and are ever in need, see if you're ever in need, take this little card," and he wrote a few words upon it, "and go to see my father, and I know he will be ready to help you out." The soldier did not think he would ever use the card, but the time came when he was in dire need, and he remembered the conversation. He went and found this wealthy man. Through the underlings and secretaries, he sent in his own card and got no, his own card and got no response. And then he thought of the other card and got it out, and on it was written these words, "Father, if you can ever do anything for my friend who helped me when I was dying, please do so." And it was signed, "Charlie." In a moment, out came the big businessman, and he said, "Oh, why didn't you send that in before? I would do anything that I can for you for Charlie's sake." If we call upon the Father's name and not our own name, if we call upon the Father to meet our needs and not call upon our own will to meet our needs, God will supply. He really will. It might take you 10 years. It's not going to take that long now, but it might take 10 years for God to do what he's promised you he will do. But he's going to do it if he promised it, and as long as you keep your faith going. You can't stop in the middle of, let's say, all right, so God said he was going to heal your body, and it's been 5 years and you're not healed yet. You can't stop in 5 years and say, "Yep, that was a lie. God's not going to do it." You have to keep telling your body. You need to line up with the word of God. Because God said he's going to heal me, he's going to heal me. If he says he's going to restore something, he's going to restore it. And it's in his timing and not yours. And in the meantime, your faith is being sorely tested. It really is being tested and tried. And many people fail because they give up. They give up just about the time they were going to receive their miracle. You cannot give up. You have to keep believing and trusting God. The sureness of faith. Faith sees this thing accomplished before it comes to pass. Faith sees a thing accomplished before it comes to pass. You know, years and years ago, God showed me my family all in church holding the Bible, raising their hand and praising God. Well, years and years have come and gone, and it's just the opposite. But the other night when I was praying, I said, "God, I still remember the vision. I remember what you told me. I'm not going to look at the circumstances around about me. This is what you said, and this is what you showed me, and this is what I expect to happen. And devil, you can just leave. Because I'm not going to give in to what you're trying to show me. And I'm standing and I'm trusting and I'm believing what God said, not what the circumstances are telling me." Now, what are you doing? Whatever it is God told you, you get your faith working and get your faith kick in, and then go ahead and allow God to do whatever he said he's going to do. And God has told us that he said, "In a blink of my eye, I'm going to perform the miracles that need to be performed." He could blink his eye right now, and whatever he told you was going to happen to you, it could happen. And if you would just come into the house of God, or just every day say, "God, this is the day my miracle is going to occur." And just really believe that, just not say it. And don't keep looking at the circumstances, but just keep believing it. It will happen. It really will happen. And I'm going to be honest with you. A couple of years ago, I said, "God, I'm really tired of telling people that what they're believing for is going to come to pass." You know, but him and I had a little conversation, and I had to repent for that statement because it's in God's timing and not mine. And we're not supposed to give in to the wiles of the devil. We're supposed to trust and believe God that he knows exactly what he's doing, and he will do it. All right? Come on. Mark 11:24 says, "When you pray, believe that you receive them." When you pray, believe. A lot of people pray. I hear a lot of people praying, they aren't believing nothing. They're just spouting out words. When you pray, believe that you receive them. When the prayer of faith goes to market, it always takes a basket. I forgot who wrote that. But when the prayer of faith goes to market, it always takes a basket. Amen. Expect to receive. We need to go back to the prayer of faith and start praying the prayer of faith all over again. The prayer of faith is to ask God to accomplish what he has promised in his word. That's what the prayer of faith is. To ask God to accomplish what he has promised in his word. See, and I'm teaching this because God said, daughter, they have no faith. Because I said, God, what is wrong with the body of Christ? He said, they have no faith. They just have no faith no more. They've given up. And he said, you have to teach them about their getting their faith active again. So saints, please activate your faith. Every time God tells you he's going to do something for you, all hell breaks loose in your life. Because the devil said, oh, I can't let them receive that. And so he'll fight you. He'll send everything you right your way he can. He'll do anything he can to try to stop you from activating your faith and walking by faith and not by sight. If he said he's going to deliver you from drugs, he's going to deliver you from drugs. I don't care what the enemy's saying. I don't care what your body's craving or doing. God, you need to tell your body, God is delivering me from drugs, and then receive that. All right? The prayer of faith will penetrate and break open that which needs to be broken open. Instead of praying the same old prayers over and over again, we will develop faith in our prayers, knowing that God has already answered the prayer, and we will move on to do the things God wants us to do. God, tell me one time, daughter, the prayer has already been answered in heaven. Now you pull it down to earth. How do we pull it down to the natural? We pull it down to natural with our faith. God said, we need to say God said so much that the devil wants to put cotton in his ears. Amen. And he'll just give you what, he'll just let you get what God promised just to shut you up. God said. And when circumstances happen around my life, I'll say, devil, this is what God has said. And I repeat everything I know that God has told me. It shuts him up and he moves on. All right. We will become aware of the fact that we are consumed with what happened yesterday. Now, this is what we're consumed with, what happened yesterday or a year ago, and have not moved forward into what God wants done today. As you keep getting your faith activated, you understand, hey, God says move past yesterday and move into today. And as we get our faith moving, we will see we've been living in the past, and that past has been killing us, and we're going to finally let go of that past and move into what God is calling us into. All right? You know, you're going to have to let, some of you are going to, like me, you're going to have to let go of your dreams and your expectations. And you're just going to go ahead and have to say, God, all right, you said, I'm not supposed to look back to what I used to have, which was really good, but I'm supposed to move forward because what you have in front of me is so much better than what I'm leaving. And then in between that dry period from when you left and when you're going to move into what God's given you, the devil's going to try to destroy your faith. And you're going to have to keep your eyes on the promises of God and quit looking back at what was good and keep moving forward to what is greater than what you left. And you can only do that by faith because what has happened to me in the days past is the devil keeps saying, look what you used to have. Look what used to go on. And and I can't look at that anymore. I have to keep my eyes focused on God and what he's bringing me into. All right, guys? I'm hearing him saying he's moving you into a broad place. If you will let go of yesterday, he's moving you into a broad place. And in that place is a great expectation that he's going to fulfill. All right? Confidence and boldness are linked with faith and belief in the word of God. You have to have confidence and boldness. They are linked with faith and belief in the word of God. The early church was a bold church. We as a body of Christ cannot walk in presumption. We have to have boldness, guys, and we have to have confidence knowing that God is able. All right. We might have gotten a prophetic word of what God wants to do in our lives, and then we work at making it happen. Are you listening? That is wrong to do. We must allow God to set our faith to get there and prepare yourself because you're there might not look like God's there. You know, when you get where God wants you to be, it won't look like what you thought it was going to look like. All right. So don't work at getting there. Like God spoke, was speaking to me the other day and prophetically, and then he popped a little phrase in there with Brother Chris that said he's going to move on into the political arena. And I thought that was neat. And so Chris said to me, well, I have to do, I think he said, listen to what, I don't know what he said, but he was going to sort of try to make God tell him what to do. And God tell him, you just be it and I'll open the door. You know, he's not supposed to focus on that. He's just supposed to be who he is, and God will start opening up the doors. God spoke to him years ago, 20 years ago maybe, wasn't it, that he was going to be in the political arena, and he popped out there and spent a lot of money he didn't have, and but that was not the timing, see? But now is the timing. Now is when God's going to put him in the, now he needs Chris, who is a Christian, be in the political arena. But we thought 20 years ago it was going to happen, but it didn't happen then, right? And Chris got wisdom over that. Where Matt's, we need, is that right, Matt? We need to be in that faith realm so we can move into the next place of glory. We're not going to receive the glory without faith. We're not. You have to have faith. You have to have faith in the fact that God is going to drop his glory. And I don't know how long it's been now, but do you remember when God told me, tell the people that my glory is coming in next, for the next breath, he said, and don't you grow weary in telling them that. And boy, many times I had tongue in cheek, I said, the glory's coming, you know, but it's in God's timing. In order to move into our next place of glory, we must have fresh revelation from God. And see, this is what God's trying to do with the body of Christ now. He wants us to have fresh revelation. He doesn't want us to work on the stale old revelation. It was good, but he has fresh revelation he wants to pour into us right now. And this is where he wants us to be. He wants us to be in a place where he can pour that fresh revelation in us. And if we don't have our faith antenna up, we're going to miss God. Just like that, you know, rabbi said, revival has to take place. And where does it start? In you. In you. You can't come into church. Well, let's see if God's going to drop his glory and bring revival. Did you bring revival with you? See, this is where it's all at. You're expecting everybody else to do the work, then, but you have a job to pay and a price to pay in this thing too. There's things you have to get up, give up. There's places you haven't moved, have to move into that you haven't moved into yet. Some have been in a season of drought, and you need to ask God to break your drought. Let God send you your refreshing in his way and in his timing. And there's quite a few of us in here been in a season of drought, you know, where you know, we thought God was going to move and he didn't. And, you know, some have even lost hope. And some have even sort of taken a back seat. Well, you need to ask God to break that drought. And you need to move forward and do the things God's calling you forth to do. Then in the midst of the new that is beginning around you, do not despise small beginnings. Don't want a 1,000-member church. You couldn't handle one. All right? Come on. The season before us is about looking beyond and seeing what you could not see in the last season. How many of you, I don't know, but with me, God's let me see now what I didn't see when all the miracles were taking place. He's letting me see really what kind of position I really had, the anointing I really had. And I didn't see all that when I was walking in it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now I'm asking God to show me now where I'm walking and what he's having me to do so that I don't walk in stupidity. All right. But mine was childlike faith. I just went and did whatever he said to do. But so the season before us is about looking beyond and seeing what you could not see in the last season. And God is doing that with me. And I know it's God doing that. We need to shout grace. Certain mountains that were blocking our sight will now fall. If there's situations in your life that you prayed about and believed for, now is a time when they're going to fall. So don't lose your faith in that area. Keep your faith moving. God has been cleansing us and getting us ready to celebrate going into our promise. You see that? God has been cleansing us and getting us ready to celebrate going into our promise. This is what makes me so upset with praise and worship. You don't know how to celebrate. This is why I show the videos sometimes. The people, they don't even know the words. They don't even know what the guy's going to sing. They're just in there just praise and worship God, dancing, jumping up and down, dancing and clapping their hands. They're just having a good time. They aren't care if they know the words or not. They don't care if it's a new song. They don't care if it's a song that's just coming, you know, out of them as they're up there on the stage, because that's what it is. They just go ahead and enjoy the worship. And then, you know, that one video, they're over there baptizing people in the corner, and over in the other corners, there's, you have a flagger, you know, they're dancing and flagging. They're just all having a really good time. They're not looking at the paper saying, what do I do next? What kind of flag do I have? They're just having a good time. And this is what's the problem with the body of Christ. You don't come in the house of God having a good time. You come in programmed. I have to do a glow Saturday, and I don't have a message yet. And I'm worried. I'm not worried, but I'm upset about that. I said, God, come on. Saturday's coming real close now. But God's not, he's not a programmed person. He just moves by his spirit. We had that pastor here who was, we just ordained not too long ago, and God is opening door after door after door, and it blew his mind because my message is his message. He said, I have the same scriptures and everything else for tonight when I go to the church to preach. And he was crying. He said, this is awesome. I said, that's spirit, working with spirit. Amen. This is the way God works. It was all message about repentance. I'd like to be a little mouse and be there and see how he does it. Amen. I lost my place. Totally lost my place, Nancy. The season we have entered into is a supernatural season. It is a supernatural season, guys. It's not like it used to be. This is also a season of breaking new ground. You must extend your hand through the darkness, the atmosphere, and into the heavenlies. We have to be in the heavenlies. God told us that this morning. We cannot operate from this earthly realm any longer. We can't do that. Do you understand the importance of the people that God's sending into the house right now? You know, the millennials, is that what they call them? These little people are all messed up. That's who he's sending into the house of God. Do you know how important it is that you're standing in right standing with God, that your faith is activated so you can minister to these people? If you haven't been around these people, they are hardcore people. Their language would melt anything. And they just don't care how they dress. They don't care how they talk. They just don't care, because after all, this is what we do out here. And you're going to have to put up with that for a season. How, are you equipped to do that? I know that. That's why God put me around these roughnecks. He had to get me equipped, because when he first did it, I thought, oh, dear Lord, I was really a virgin. I didn't know all this stuff was going on out there in the world, but God taught me very quickly. And so I'm hoping that you all have been taught very quickly. And that you're, what would you do if your flagging team's up, your little, you do red flags, I'll do white flags, I'll do gold flags, and you do green flags. And somebody comes up and grabs a flag and start, a yellow flag and starts flagging. You all going to go crazy? Oh no, we got too many, can't use a yellow flag right now after all. You know? That might happen. It might happen. So are you geared up for this kind of stuff? Is your faith strong enough where you can say, God, you're in control. You do what you want to do, the way you want to do it. Come on. Lost my place again. God desires that we become new and fresh in him. And you really are going to have to change. You can. He's not taking the old person into this new thing. He just is not. I have been fighting with God. God, now really now, come on. You know, and I just don't, this is all new stuff to me. But he doesn't care what I say. He doesn't care how I drag my feet. He just says, come on, we're going to change. Are you ready for that change? You know, it takes faith to change. But, you know, with some of the things God's asking you, it takes faith. It really does. All right, God desires that we become new and fresh in him. He is not holding us captive to our mistakes. He is always giving us a way to escape. He is constantly asking, where are you? I just want to commune with you. I know the enemy has spoken to you and led you away from my presence, but I want you back, and I'm willing to send my spirit to draw you back to me. I long for you to be prosperous in me. I long to touch the work of your hands. God is saying, where are you at? I need you now. Why are you hiding from me? Why are you holding on to the past? Let go of it. Let's move forward. You cannot move forward if you're still holding on to the past. You have to, and some of us know, letting go of the past is hard because it's embedded and ingrained in us. But God is able to un-ingrain it. and unembedded, he's able to set us free from our past. We all know that. And quit fighting him, because he's going to have his way. Why is he going to have his way? Because you said, here I am, Lord. Use me. I'm your servant. Whatever you want me to do, do it. And just tell me, and I'll do it. I hope that's what you told him, because if you didn't, then you're wasting his time and your time. When they say church, it's not, when it was kept saying years ago, church is not going to be as church used to be. Church isn't like it used to be. And we went through some changes. And, you know, they've been hard changes. Because, first of all, God works with me and makes me change. And then I have to come here and make you all change. And you drag your feet just like I did mine, you know. And then I have to have grace. Hey, what's wrong with you guys? See, I already went through my dragging my feet. But now I'm saying to you, what's your problem? Why can't you just do what God's asking you to do? He says, grace, daughter, grace. Give you grace as I gave you grace while I was changing you. They need grace also. Are you listening? So we can't be hard-nosed with people. We have to give them grace. Just because you got your two steps ahead of them doesn't mean that you've attained. Just thank God he took you two steps ahead of them and got you prepared so you could take care of them. All right? All right, don't despise is where I'm supposed to be, but I don't know where that's at. Oh, don't despise your discipline. God is going to discipline you. Because God loves us, he is pouring out discipline or teaching. Receive teaching for your future. Decree that your mind is being transformed. I'm going to tell you, sometimes you're going to sit and you're going to say, oh, God, what are you doing? You know, because your mind's going to be going to all a mile a minute at all the different things that God is showing you that he wants you to do. And he has to change you, get you into a different gear in order for you to go there and do that. So you're not the only one in the boat that's head swimming and you don't really know what God's doing. You're not the only one in the boat. Remember, God told us, why do you think you're the only one in the boat? You think you're so, well, I'm saying, did we think we were so special that we were the only one in the boat going through this thing? No. There's many more out there going through the same things that we're going through, because God is changing a multitude of people to bring forth his word in this day and in this hour. Faith works by love. Love is the only way we will come into a new dimension of faith. If you can't love, your faith is not going to grow. How many of you have I watch myself daily, how I function. And I have noticed that if I just drop out of the love walk, even for a second, my faith drops. And I really can't believe for anything. And I have to get my love walk going. I have to repent to God first and then ask the person to forgive me that I got upset with, so that my faith will increase. You have to stay in the love walk. That's a must. That's a given. If we do not break into faith, we will not break into miracles. You won't break into miracles just by asking for them. You must create a faith atmosphere that is greater than the atmosphere you have been in. That's very important. You must create a faith atmosphere that is greater than the atmosphere you have been in. You know how many people come through these doors and, you know, God has promised, I'm going to heal you or whatever he tells them. And then I see them a month later. They're still the same as they were when they left. And I go home and cry. I say, God, why aren't you touching them? You promise him a healing. He says, I will keep my word. And so, see, it's in God's timing, God's perfect timing. And I even hate to say that, because that's like saying your faith really isn't working the way it ought. But that's not true. That's not true. And I found that out. See, I'm so used to working in miracles, and they just happen right then and there. And now when it doesn't happen right away, I've been having a problem with that. But God's had to walk me through that. And I no longer have a problem with that, because I know in God's perfect timing, all things happen. Amen. And please do not stop believing for a miracle of any type in your life. Please don't. Well, God, in your timing, your will, just thank God that he is healing you. Thank God you're receiving your miracle. Don't go down the other road. All right? Because really, that's a little bit lack of faith. And the enemy is fighting tooth and nail, trying to keep you from your miracle. And you're really being tested to the very core of your being right now. Because when God does drop his glory in all of its fullness, you're going to have to be strong inside and out. And you're going to be, because God told me this, we're going to be so strong that nothing that enemy throws at us will ever take us off course. All right? And this is what God is doing with us. He's working that steadfastness inside of us, and that loyalty and that integrity inside of us, so that the enemy won't ever be able to push us off course. You know, if you think about it, when Jesus went and raised Lazarus from the dead, some were mocking him, weren't they? But still, Jesus didn't let that stop him. He went ahead and raised Lazarus from the dead. Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." This is a faith, Hebrews is a faith message. "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." You know what, guys? You know, whenever the rapture occurs, if you go up in a rapture, it's going to be because of your faith. Then whenever God said, "You will not die, but I will rapture you away," it's your faith that's going to cause that to happen. You know, God can tell you that, but you can mock God and make fun of it, and that will never happen. But it's your faith that's going to see this take place. "But without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." We're going to have to believe that as we seek God for whatever we have need of, that he rewards us. You're going to have to believe that. "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear." See, he moved with godly fear. "Prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Noah built that ark by faith. Everybody come by and mocked and ridiculed him, did they not? But he just kept right on building. We need to keep building. It doesn't matter what God has asked us to do and how people are mocking us. We just need to keep building. And we have to do that by faith. And verse 8 says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going." He said to his wife, "Pack up the tent. We're leaving. Where are we going?" "I don't know. Just going." But see, we always say to God, "Well, exactly, you know, how far is it down the road? And exactly, are you going to prepare the way?" We just want God to do it, show us everything. But Abraham just said, God said, "We have to move. We're going to move. Let's get going." Somebody, if God told one of you you had to change your church, you sit down for an hour asking him how come, where, what, when, why. You want all the ins and outs and seeing. If God said you have to go, you have to go. Come on. I told you the time I left the church because I was upset and God made me go back. It took me a year to go back. I didn't want to go back. And I got back and got comfortable. God said, "Now I want you to leave." I said, "I just got here." He said, "I just wanted you to obey me." And then he told me why I had to leave. He said, "The first time you left it for the wrong reason. You left because you was upset." He said, "Now you're leaving because I want you to go." Say. So whatever God's telling you to do, that's what you do. But make sure you're hearing from God. And it's not your head trying to control what you're doing. All right? All right, then. I said, "By faith, Abraham left, and by faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." You'd have to have faith at 90 years old to have a child. Amen. Come on. "Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars of the sky and multitude innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore." And we're talking about Abraham here. These all died, every one of these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. All right, let's just stop there. You might be praying for a loved one, and that loved one does not get saved, and you die and you go to heaven. But after you die, that loved one gets saved. So just because you don't see them saved does not mean that God is not going to answer your prayer of faith and get them saved. All right? So never give up on a loved one or anybody that you're praying for that they won't get saved some point in their life. In my walk with God, he tells me, don't pray for that person because they're never going to change. He does tell me that, so I don't do that. Now, I don't know if God does that to you or not, but please don't just conjure that up because that's a bad thing. That means they're eternally lost. God says they've become unteachable and they won't ever be in heaven. Just don't pray for them. See, and I don't want any of you to be in that place either where God would say that about you. You have to have faith, believing, and knowing that God is in control and he's full of grace, love, and mercy, and he can do whatever he so desires to do. But he does know when a person has hardened their heart and you're just wasting your time. You have to move on because, like he told me, there's so many souls out there that you need to really concentrate on that really do want me. All right? Verse 14 says, for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. In other words, God had called them out of that place, and they could have gone back to that place, but they decided to go ahead and do what God had called them forth to do. And they stayed where God told them to go, no matter what was going on. Then by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. You know, God gave Isaac to Abraham, and he said that through Isaac your seed shall be called. Then here's God saying, take him up and offer him to me. Kill him. And so Abraham, knowing his God, because what did he tell Isaac? God will supply. Isn't that what he said? He knew that his God would not allow him to kill his son. And so he took him on up there. But he still was obedient. And God waited to the very last second before he stopped him. So, you know, if you're believing for something, it could be at the very second that God's going to move and you give up and then you've lost it. Remember my story about fasting? Whenever I fasted 39 days and the 40th day, I ate a stupid peanut. And God said, you just lost your blessing by eating a peanut. I've always remembered that. And the peanuts aren't that good anymore. Amen. Because it caused me. So you could do something at the very last second that would cause you to lose out with God. You don't want to do that. You really don't. I've been there, done that, and it's not a good road. All right. All right, verse 19 says, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. And we're talking about Isaac here. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph in worship, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. See, he knew what was going to happen, and he told him what to do with his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. And by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. And what God took him into was so much more wonderful than what he would have had staying with Pharaoh. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than riches, than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. In other words, he kept his eyes upon Jesus. By faith he kept a Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. And here's this Red Sea in front of you, and Moses say, go forth, and then the Red Sea opens, and here's the water up on each side. I'd have said, let me go to the back of the line, because I don't like water anyhow. Let me just see if this really is real, But they just started trudging through there, and God held the water up until they got through. See how God worked that? By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. And by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what did Rahab do? She kept God's men safe, and then she tied the red ribbon out of her window, and they kept her safe when God was destroying things. So it's by faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became violent in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. They all died. But by faith they did these things. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Are you willing to go through pain and sorrow? Are you willing to go through hard times for God? Is your faith strong enough that no matter what comes your way, that you're going to stand your ground and trust and believe God? If you read about what we just read about here, all right, so if somebody's going to come into you and say, I'm going to cut your head off if you don't deny Christ, God isn't going to keep your head on. Your head's going to be cut off if you don't deny Christ. And so don't say, well, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to say, I'm not going to deny Christ and you can't cut my head off. Well, you'll see. You'll see. Are you willing to go through that? Is your faith strong enough to go through that? Or are you going to buckle and you're going to say, I deny Christ. He doesn't exist. Because you want to keep your head. Your head's dumb anyhow, aren't you? Why do you want to keep it? You ought to just let him go ahead and say, go ahead and cut this head off because I'm going to be resurrected in a new life and I'll have a better head than what you cut off. Right? But how many is going to do that? Like I said, I don't know if I was at Red Sea. I think I would have went to the back of the line. Amen? But we're not at the Red Sea. We're right here. We're right in reality, right in Delaware. And God is saying, get your faith working. Trust him and believe in him. Even if you die, you're going to go to a better place. But keep your faith going. And God allowed me to raise the dead before. And so I was saying one day, I said, God, I'm not going to tell anybody to believe in raising the dead, because the three I raised from the dead, they was mad at me because I raised them from the dead, because they'd rather stay in heaven than come back to earth. And I had to let them go, and he died anyhow again. But that's dumb. That's dumb. If you want to believe for raising dead, you go right ahead and you let your faith work, and you just go ahead and raise the dead. If they choose to go back, they chew you out and then choose to go back, well, so be it. But at least you let your faith work, and God did what you wanted done. Remember I said that the people that I raised, they say, why are you making me go back? And he opened up heaven and said, because she's praying. Her faith. I have to honor her faith. So how much faith do you really have? How much faith do you really have? I'm going to tell you a story. One time, my granddaughter, she got in an accident. She was in Virginia, and she ran under a Miss Debbie truck, and she was really messed up really bad. Well, she couldn't talk. And I just felt my spirit, if I brought her from Virginia to my house, you know, so she'd go to church, that God would heal her. And this one day in the church, and God was really moving, the faith was really high, and I started praying for her. Well, she went out in the spirit, but I kept on praying. And down inside here, I felt my faith just start rising and rising and rising, you know. And just about the time it was ready to bust wide open, I looked around me and saw that nobody else was praying, that everybody else was talking and laughing. And I thought, what's the use? And I got up. That girl is see, and that was really bad of me, because that God was getting ready to raise her up and heal her. And because I looked around at people and gave up my faith, she still today is in the same condition she was years and years and years ago. So I'm telling you that story to tell you this. I don't care what people are doing around about you. You let your faith rise up. And you keep in your faith and you let God do what you're believing God to do, no matter what anybody else is saying or doing around you. I learned a very important lesson that day. From that point on, it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. I'm going to do what God's telling me to do. I'm going to do what my faith is telling me to do. And I'm not going to be concerned about people, because they're perishing anyhow if they're doing that kind of dumb stuff. You should be helping with a prayer. You should be helping raising the people from the dead. You should be helping healing people. You know, praying till the miracle really works. I have noticed in praying for the dead that it doesn't happen instantly. You have to pray and really believe. And as you really believe and trust God, and you keep your faith going, it gets stronger. And you can feel you'll feel your faith growing inside of you, and you'll feel it growing and growing till you know that you know that you know that God is going to do that thing, and you just sit and wait. Never forget the one day that the one guy was in the hospital, and I had my head down by the bed, and I was praying for God to heal him. I said, he's a young man, Lord, and you promised him great and wonderful things. And I was just, I said, you need to raise him up from the dead. Next thing I knew, somebody pat me on the head, because the nurse had come in and she took his stuff off of him and said he was dead. And I looked up, and it was him. He said, will you please quit praying? And, you know, God sent him back again. But the nurse came in and she said, I can't believe this. Well, they told me I had to leave. I said, why? And they said, well, we have to get him ready because he's dead. And he said, no, I'm not. But see, you know, and it blew the nurse's mind. But because I didn't give up when she disconnected him from the life support stuff, you know, I kept saying, God, you can raise him up and I'm going to stay here till you do. God raised him up. You understand this, guys? It doesn't matter what where other people's faith is at. It's where is your faith? It's your God that you're praying to. And he does honor your faith. Believe me, he does. Just the other day, God said, daughter, I really don't want to do this, but because it's you, I'll do this. I was asking him to show somebody some grace. He said, they don't deserve any more grace. But because you keep asking, I'm going to give them more grace. So you see what your faith can do. It can give that person another chance in life. You know, who are you to judge? Just believe. Believe God. Get your faith going. And don't allow anybody around you to take your faith away from you. There's times we've been in this church, we've only, you know, from the time I first started, we always had revival all the time. Every place I went, the churches were packed out. And then it came to a point where all it was five of us. And somebody said, why don't you, and that's all it was five of us. And they said, why don't you shut the doors? I said, no, God hasn't told me to shut the doors. I'm going to stay right here and keep preaching. And as I kept preaching, God would send more in and more in. He honored my faith. He honored my steadfastness. You know, what's the difference if you preach to one or a multitude? But I read a story by Kenneth Copeland where he went to Philadelphia, and I've told it before, I'm going to tell it again tonight. You know, it was a big auditorium, and he went there, and only one person showed up. And he had this powerful message. He said, I just stood there and gave that man everything I had, and he got saved. And I always remembered that. That was when I was first born. I always remembered that. He didn't tell the man. And then that happened to me, too. Is Linnell in here tonight? Yeah, Linnell. They invited me to his church one time down here in Dover, and I went, and nobody was there. The pastor said, what are you doing here? I said, well, I was invited to preach here tonight. They forgot. So I preached to Linnell, and he got saved that night. I just gave him everything I had. You know, they called me there, and I went, and so there was somebody there. He was a drummer at that point. Why aren't you drumming up here? Weren't you a drummer then? Sure you were. He's playing the drums. I'm going to tell you right now, guys, God will honor your faith. He really will. So he's saying it's up to you tonight where you end up at. Are you going to end up with a handful of faith or a mountain full of faith? It's totally up to you. But he's with you wherever you're at. He'll honor a little faith, but he wants to honor the mountain faith too. All right? Father, I just thank you and I praise you and I just give you all honor and all glory. And Father, you are the author and finisher of each one of our lives. You told me that coming down here tonight. And you are our righteousness. So I'm trusting and believing tonight that the people heard your word and that a seed was planted within each one of them. And Father God, that as I plead the blood of Jesus over that seed is going to be secure and the enemy can't steal it. And you're going to water that seed and we're going to see mountain moving faith in each one of these people that's here tonight. Now, Father God, start the fire within each one of them right now. Start that fire of faith, that fire that cannot be put out, but that fire that will just burn and burn and burn until all the chaff is burned away and nothing is left but you. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God is saying that some of you have a little faith, but he wants you to have mountain moving faith. And if you want the mountain moving faith, if you come up, he's gonna touch you with mountain moving faith. And he said some of you even want to have faith to raise the dead. And he said in this mountain moving faith, you will be able to raise the dead. So if that's what you want tonight, come on up and God's going to touch you in a mighty way. And he's saying some of you need resurrection power. Some of you need resurrected from your dead works. You just need to ask God during this time of repentance to just take away all the dead works and give you fresh new works. Fresh new anointing. Ask him to breathe upon you tonight in a fresh new way. And don't allow the enemy any more space. Don't allow him to steal nothing in your life.